Okay, welcome everyone. I'd like to call to order the November 14 Health Commission. And the first thing on the agenda is to approve the minutes. The minutes were sent out earlier. Are there any changes?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, all in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
The next item is public comment, and these are for persons desiring to speak on issues other than those that are on agenda items and that are within the scope of the Health Commission. So is there any public comment? Okay, seeing no public comment, let's move right into an update on ocean water monitoring protocols with Kurt Batson.
Good evening. My name is Kurt Batson. I'm the Director of Environmental Health, and I'm responsible for the Ocean Water Monitoring Program. I wanted to come and talk to you a little bit about, in general, what the Ocean Water Monitoring Program protocols are. I want to talk a little specifically about the events that occurred in Shell Beach on October 14th and 15th. I'd like to go a little bit over what we think went well, what areas we think we could improve on, and then mostly answer any questions you have at that point. So let me talk a little bit about our protocols. We do have protocols in place for how to respond to a sewage spill when it impacts the ocean. But as well as you can write a protocol, you can never anticipate every circumstance that occurs out there in reality. So we have protocols in place, but it doesn't eliminate the need for some good, sound judgment. Some of the things that come up that we can't always address in a sewage spill is the volume of the spill, the location of the spill. What I mean by that is a 500-gallon sewage spill in a park where kids are playing is a very big deal. A 10,000-gallon sewage spill where no one's around and no one can get access isn't as big a deal. And we can't anticipate all of the various permutations that might come up as a result of that. Other thing that we have to take into account, especially as it relates to ocean water monitoring, is employee safety. Whether or not there's public access to that part of the ocean, and the time of day. And all of those were variables in this incident that occurred on October 14th, where someone, my on-call person, had to make a judgment call. So let me tell you what it's supposed to look like in an ideal circumstance, and then we'll talk a little bit about the events of that particular night. It's actually a pretty simple process. If there's a sewage spill that has impacted the ocean, we respond. We go to the sewage spill, make sure the sewage spill is cleaned up correctly. We have signs posted. We post temporary signs, because we don't really anticipate sewage spills all the time. We do have 19 permanent, what we call flip signs, that are for health advisories, but we don't have signs that are permanent for sewage spills. But this sign gets put on a wooden stake or appropriate, you know, post or whatever, so that it's visible, people can see. Now, you would think this is pretty easy to see. All of you can read this probably from where you're sitting, no problem. When this is out on the beach, we used to, before we had permanent flip signs, this is the only kind of sign that we had. All of our signs were about this size, put on wooden stakes, temporarily put in the ground. We would have the media say, well, we heard about this sewage spill. Where did you put your signs? And we would tell them where we put our signs. They couldn't find them. We went out there. They were there. They're not as obvious as you might think to see that one of these signs. But we think it's red, it's multicolored, it says sewage spill, it says all the right words. It even has some graphics on there that make it pretty clear what you're not supposed to do. But still, they do get missed, and it happens. But anyway, we post the signs, we take a sample, so the beach is closed. When the sample results come off, if they are below standards, then the signs are taken down. If they are above standards, the signs stay up, and we take another follow-up sample. Sample results take about 24 hours or so to get results up from. It's just the nature of the type of samples that we do. So that's how it's supposed to work. Let's talk a little bit about October 14th, that night. Sewage spill occurred about 6:30 that night, right about dark. Sunset was about 6:30. And we were notified by sheriff's dispatch about 8:20, almost 2 hours later. My on-call person contacted the city who was working to clean it up. They contacted their supervisor, as the protocol calls for. Contacted Dr. Bornstein, as the protocol calls for. And then, and all that was done between 8:30 and 9:15 that night. It was about 10:45 when we finally got a hold of the public works director and notified him for the city of Pismo Beach. We did not go out to the spill site that night at all. The next morning, my on-call person came into the office about 7:30, 8 o'clock, prepared the press release that we're required to do, sent it out through our what we call rapid fax to all the media that morning, between 8 and 8:30. And then we posted that same media press release on our website at 8:30 that morning. It goes into a place on it. We've revised our website recently, and we have a place now for alerts, media releases, things like that, and that's where it was posted. We posted these signs at two locations that morning, about 8:30. One was at the stairs that goes the designated public access to this part of the beach. The other one was posted at what apparently is sort of an unofficial access going down a cliff. I don't know anybody who would go down that cliff, but apparently that was the best we could find any other access to that beach in that area. So we had two signs posted. At that point, we did not take a sample. We're now 14 hours after the sewage spill has occurred. And that's what happened. On Sunday morning, about 10:30, 11 o'clock, we went back, and this, now we're talking, 24, almost 40 hours later, something like that. Went back and removed those two signs, and that was the end of the incident. So what went well? What did we do right? And as whenever there's judgment being used, you have to ask yourself, what could we have done better? And in this case, there were things we could have done better, and there were things that we did well. One of the things was notification. We notified the health officer very timely. We notified the city timely. The environmental health supervisor was notified. The media was notified. All of the notifications were timely. We got a hold of the city representatives, talked to them, the ones who were cleaning it up, and that sort of thing. The things that we should have done better. We didn't go out to that site that night. Now, again, it happened at about, we were notified about 8:30. The person who's on call lives in Creston. So it's, I don't know, 45-minute drive to get there. By the time she completed all of her notifications, it was 9:15 or so, even though we still hadn't contacted the city. Public Works Director. We had contacted a different city representative earlier. So she made the decision to not go out that night. And in retrospect, she should have gone there, if for no other reason, to make sure that the sewage was cleaned up. It wouldn't have been... I went out there on Friday following the incident, and I walked the area. I kind of got an idea of the distances, things to deal with in the dark, in the middle of the night. And I would have been very concerned for her wandering around on that cliff in the middle of the night posting signs. So I don't think that not posting signs that night was a problem. It was dark. We're talking about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. There's probably not much access to the beach. So we felt that I felt that it was okay to do it the following morning. So one of the things that we also wasn't done was she didn't take a sample. When we normally do this, we take samples. I went to the beach. I was curious about where was this location. I wasn't familiar with the exact site. And where the spill occurred, there's a lot of rock outcropping. It looks like a perfect place to do a lot of tide pool walking around. And she didn't take a sample because she was 14 hours after the incident the following morning and decided it wasn't necessary to take the sample. But she would leave her signs up another 24 hours just to be sure that the problem had essentially diluted. When I went down there on Friday afterwards, I was looking at the site, and I would have, if she had taken a sample, I would have been concerned because it was not a safe place to take a sample. She would have put herself in some pretty difficult circumstance. That wasn't in her mind. In her mind was, it's 14 hours after the incident. I shouldn't have taken it. I've talked to her since about that, and that was, except for the safety issue, sample should have been taken. Not because we're trying to put up signs, but it gives us the basis for taking the signs down. Now, every late winter, whenever we get our first big rains, we send out a press release, we put on our website, you know, you should stay out of the water for the next 72 hours. We don't take samples everywhere. But when we have a big flush, it has been so common for the over the years that it's always the bacterial water quality is bad for a few days. But that's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of gallons of stuff flowing into the ocean all at once. It's coming from in the watershed above there, and who knows, there's animals that use those creeks, and there's lots of stuff that comes out of those creeks that are not good for the ocean. So one of the things that we need to do to improve is we need to modify our protocol to deal with two things primarily. One is, what happens if you don't or you can't post the beach immediately when you find out about the incident? The other thing is, what happens if it's not safe to take a sample? What should you do under those circumstances? Our protocol doesn't provide any of that guidance. We're going to change that. We're going to have to do a little homework because one of the things that that you have to take into account is how much sewage went out into the ocean. 6,000 gallons sounds like a lot of sewage, and it is in the wrong place. In this place, it's the middle of the ocean. Nobody got near it for at least 14 hours, and unfortunately, in this case, the solution to this pollution was dilution. It's not the way we like to do it, but that's the reality. So what we're going to have to come up with is a protocol. What is an appropriate amount of time? If you can't take a sample, what's an appropriate amount of time to put up your signs, leave them up, and then take them down without taking a sample? We have to come up with something like that because we don't have that in place, other than the 72-hour one that we do when heavy rains throw all sorts of stuff in there. 6,000-gallon sewage spill. Before the signs were taken down, it was 10:30 on Sunday. That was, 40 hours or so after this bill. I think that was sufficient time, but still, that was a judgment call on her part, and we need to make that better. Okay, let's see what else. One of the issues, about a quarter mile away is a beach that we actually routinely sample. It's 450 yards away from where this sewage spill occurred, approximately a quarter mile. And there's a what we call a flip sign. It's a health advisory. It's different than this, which is actually don't go in the water. That one is we advise you to stay out of the water when we have high bacteria counts. And so we flip those signs that says health advisory, we advise you to stay out of the water, and that sort of thing. That flip sign was not flipped up to advise or post a warning. It was just too far away. 450 yards, a quarter mile away, 14 hours later, 6,000 gallons into the Pacific Ocean is a very, very small amount. But when we take samples routinely, I just to give you a sense for distance, when we take samples in our 19 regular locations and we have a high count, we assume that that's effective 50 yards to either side of that sign where we took our samples. There's no guidance, there's no scientific studies that have indicated how far away should you be from the sampling point, but clearly there's got to be some distance. A mile is too far, only right where you took the sample is too close. And what guidance that we have received from the state is that it should be 50 yards to either side of that sign. In this case, is 50 yards enough? I don't know. I probably wouldn't think so. 14 hours later, probably. 450 yards was clearly way out of the range of what we would post signs. The staircase that was the public access to this area, if I had to guess, about 100 yards maybe away, maybe 150 yards away from the spill. That's pretty far. But still, that was the public access, the primary public access. There is another public access that you can tell was a well-worn path that was, again, 450 yards away from the spill. So the last thing, of course, that we need to do, these sewage spills that occur after hours like this, they don't happen a lot, thank goodness. They do happen. So we need to not only revise our protocol so that we can try to take into account some of these things, but we're going to also be updating our staff who are on call as to these protocols, obviously. That's sort of what I had to say in terms of comments. I could address questions you have at this point.
Yeah, you talked about the main access to the beach were steps. Is that where people that were carrying surfboards would have to probably go down those steps?
They would either go down those steps or about 450 yards away. Like I said, there's been, it looks like what used to be the normal access to that beach. Looks like people could carry surfboards there. But the steps is the closest to this spill, yes.
And then the sign, you said there was two signs, one at the near the bottom of the stairs?
It was at the top of the stairs.
Oh, at the top of the stairs.
Yes.
And how far would the spill plume go?
Hard
to say?
It's very difficult to say, but this was about, the stair accesses, again, based on my best judgment there, was about 150 yards away from where the spill occurred. And most of that, between where the spill occurred and these steps, you have a little bit of sand and a little bit of rock, and then it's pretty rocky all the way to the spill. So I don't think you'd be carrying your surfboard to that point at all. You would have gone down the stairs, and to the left, not down the stairs and to the right too much. But I'm not a surfer, so I can't really tell you the best surfing spots, but it is pretty rocky, pretty difficult to get to. Like I said, low tide, it'd be a great place to tide pool.
And what time did you put the signs up?
About 8:30 that morning, or Saturday morning.
Okay.
And by the way, sunrise was about 7, so it was shortly after daylight.
Yes.
Was there ever any dispersion analysis done when the plant was putting in their outfall to say that we're going to dump stuff into the ocean and this is going to be the pattern of dispersion, maybe some radioactive tracer studies or something like that?
This location wasn't anywhere near the plant. This location, this spill occurred in the middle of a street, and it went into a storm drain.
Oh, this was not the outfall?
No, it had nothing to do with the outfall. This went into a storm drain, went down, and actually between a couple of houses, right into the ocean. There was absolutely zero treatment of this. And it was not part of the wastewater treatment plant's outfall.
So the culvert discharges onto the sand or into the ocean?
It actually discharges onto rock,
okay,
which then into the ocean, right?
If it's washed.
Yes, eventually.
Okay. What is the final outcome of E. coli when it's sitting in the ocean? Does it die?
Yes, it doesn't live very long, but yeah, yes.
So 14 hours, in essence.
The thing about the time, at least for a 6,000-gallon spill, that was probably an acceptable thing, even though the signs were up, again, for another 26 hours after we put them up. So imagine Friday night, the spill occurred about 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Saturday morning at 8:30, the signs were up. The signs stayed up until 10:30 on Sunday. So that's, I'd have to, between 8:30 and 6:30, that's about 8 hours. So 40 hours of time had passed before the signs came down from the time the spill occurred. And it was raw sewage. There was, if my understanding is, one of their lift stations failed.
That's what I was going to ask. What caused it?
It was, that's my understanding. It was a pump that failed. And
That lifts to the plant.
Right, well, yeah, up to some sewer line that then ultimately drains to the plant. And it occurred in the middle of a street. And as most streets have, is some sort of a storm drain. And this went into the storm drain, and I mean, it's like probably from that storm drain to where it goes out into the ocean, 50 yards maybe. It was right there. Yes? They did all of that when they were cleaning up, yes, but, you know, that's not going to be terribly effective. They're not going to take any hoses down onto the beach, onto the rock, and hose it off there. The ocean and tides will take care of that eventually. But still, it's not the best way, but it's the way it happens. Yes. Any beach community has these issues occasionally. So.
Yes.
So 6,000 gallons of raw sewage. How long does it take 6,000 gallons of raw sewage to leak out?
You know, I don't know how long it took to come out of the ground. I couldn't honestly tell you. I only know that it was reported around 6:30. We were notified about 8:30. So it probably started sometime before 6:30, but I don't know exactly how long.
So they don't. Nobody knows when, how long it had been leaking to leak 6,000 gallons.
Well, this isn't something that happens like over days or anything like that. This happened within an hour or two, I'm sure, but I just don't know exactly how long it was.
And how fast does the pump pump?
I don't know. I'm not the city engineer. I have no idea, but apparently it failed and went right. And the storm drain was right there. I mean, it could not have They could not have kept it from going into that storm drain. That's the way the street sloped. And it was right there. It occurred on one side of the street, the storm drain's on the other, and the ocean's 50 yards away.
Yes. How many spills on average does your department get? How many calls annually?
You mean they go into the ocean? Or all together?
All of them.
Oh, boy. I don't know either number, actually, but I would say they go into the ocean maybe 3 or 4 in a year.
Okay.
And go all together maybe 10, 12, maybe 20. Something like that.
And how many of those do you think are after hours? On-call person?
Just every, I don't know, 1 or 2 maybe.
Okay. My next question is how do you determine your on-call staffing, and do they get a stipend to be an on-call person?
Yes. They are paid actually standby pay, and then when called, they're paid callback pay. Mm-hmm. And
did this person get this pay even though they didn't actually go out and
not until the next day?
Scene?
Not until the next day.
Okay.
She would have gotten paid that night because she spent from about 8:30 until about 10:45 trying to get a hold of people on phone. So that's considered a callback if you are doing that.
So is there anything in your protocol that says before somebody makes any kind of determination about public safety with any kind of spill, that the on-call person actually needs to go on-site and see what's actually happened?
That's what happens almost all the time. This one, it did not happen. It happened, again, we were notified at 8:30. By the time we do our required notifications, it was 9:15. And if was wrapping up. They had already cleaned it up. There wasn't much to see when you got there at 10 or 10:15. We should have gone anyway.
Yes.
If nothing else, to make sure that it was cleaned up. Even if we couldn't have posted, even if we couldn't take samples, we should have been there to see that it got cleaned up. And then even if it took her an hour to get there, an hour to get back, and I've discussed that already, and that will be in the protocol as you go, regardless, even if you don't have much you can do about it at that time, and you come back the following morning and finish.
Right. I would, as a private citizen, I would feel more comfortable knowing that my environmental health department had actually visually checked.
And sewage spills of all types, or what is most commonly occurs, is some sort of an overflowing septic tank in somebody's yard or something like that. They drop what they're doing, and they go to those, and they try to get them as fast as they possibly can. So they don't go without somebody looking at it to see that it got cleaned up correctly, or that it's in an area that is inaccessible, and so we don't have to worry about so much right then. It just, all the decisions come into play, but we go to them right away. This one we didn't, and we should have.
Big ocean outfall. One other thing I just wanted to mention, that when you talked about spacing out the signs and people not being able to notice them,
mm-hmm.
Yellow caution tape is really cheap, and mm-hmm. maybe they could just run something between those signs, which would certainly get people's attention.
Well, this was kind of an interesting location. I don't know if you've been to that particular location, but she looked for, as close to the spill as she could, a way that wasn't the public access, wasn't the stairs. And they looked like goat trails. I mean, they were really narrow and steep, and maybe at one time that's how you got down there before those stairs were built, because those stairs haven't been there more than a couple of years, I don't think. But still, she posted at one that looked like the most likely that people would go down. And then she posted one at the stairs at the top, and the distance between those two would have been maybe 50 yards, 40 yards, something like that.
Commissioner Arnold.
Yes, I wanted to agree with the comments of Commissioner Warren and observe that 8:30 you thought was early, but I think for a surfer that isn't real early. But anyway, I want to go back to the beginning. I would assume one of the neighbors tipped off the city of Pismo Beach, but your department only heard about it through the sheriff.
That's the protocol that's in place. That's how we always get notified, unless it occurs during the middle of the day. But almost always, anything after hours, anything that involves our on-call people always comes through the sheriff's dispatch.
Well, it would just seem to me that it would be quicker if it was required of the city involved that they contact you directly. Seems to me that would be quicker, and I don't know why it has to go through the sheriff.
Well, because they have our access to our pagers or our cell phones or however they're going to access. They have the numbers for that. We don't give out those numbers to everybody. We just that's just the system, the emergency response system that we have in place. I mean, it could be done in a lot of different ways, I suppose. But this seems to have been the most efficient way. This one, 2 hours later, seems to be a little late. But there's also another reporting requirement that the city has. We don't. It's to report it to Cal EMA. We got notification from Cal EMA, because it goes up to the state, and this is where I got some of the information from about when the spill occurred, because they report to the state and tell them. We were already responding to it at 8:20, 8:30. We got during the day. During the 8 to 5, but after hours it goes to the sheriff.
I still don't understand why the cities can't contact you directly. Do you really feel you're going to get crank calls from
no.
the Public Works Department of the cities when they have a, you know?
No, it's just a system that's been set in place. It's certainly something we can look into to see if it's more appropriate for them to call us directly, but it's one of the difficult things is knowing who's on call, what their phone numbers are, and we do that with the sheriff's dispatch, and that's just been the way that we've done it. I don't have an explanation for why it couldn't be done another way. It could be.
I'd like to weigh in on that as the
Thank
person
you.
Who's on call 24/7, 365, and do get errant calls, not infrequently. And often when I do get those, the person is sheriff's dispatch, oh, you must be new, and they usually are, and that is, if you're dealing with seven cities and staff turnover and figuring out who to call for what kind of problem and the training that would go on with that, it's a system that has served us well to have all urgent or emergent responses go through the sheriff's dispatch. There's a documentation issue. There's I think that, you know, you've heard tonight about things that might have been tweaked and done a little bit better, but I'd like to emphasize, notwithstanding Curtin, on behalf of his staff, some self-flagellation. These events are pretty rare, and in this case, I think we need to remember that even though Kurt was saying 6,000 gallons into the ocean is not the way we would want to do it, I absolutely concur with that. But I don't believe that given all the circumstances that you've heard about that the public's health was endangered. We are tightening up protocols so that we can not take out as much judgment call as possible. But this was, again, Kurt is just using a gender, but I happen to know that this is one of our finest environmental specialists, and the judgment call that was made was very much with public health's the public health's public's health in mind, and her mistake was not having a juxtaposition of post on it. I just want.
What I think we could.
Gallons.
Reporting.
This particular.
About 20. some sites. Goes into rising people.
Or the
each each of access point. You know, the and he form. Place, but which bill signed. Fine thing. I
to thank you very much.
On both. If you like. City of allow the public. New. Problems in. Sign has. The public.
The trail. Discussions.
Data on.
Pismo and. flip sign.
In San Luis.
Have comics. Main goals of Bushajan. are the three goals? Communities. And because we the room. Older adults. Does it mean? Challenges. Taking an opportunity. A little bit later. And it was a mix. thinking differently? See more to we face. At least 18. The one stop. Provide seniors. And to people. You something. Are very important. As you questions about student aid.
Aiming it.
You.
social circle. Prioritize them. Next steps. The other priority. Sure that you
very and so the is in the room.
if maybe
thank you. I welcome. Listening the making that evaluated. Supply. Information will be involved.
Program.
That the
is on campus. Food and alcohol.
Accelerate. Mission that. more fully.
Application. Last year. Or at it.
Maybe we can.
Small way. very timely. That
From the real
pick up. In other words,
Or